Welcome, Curious Minds, to another deep dive. Today, we're plunging into a topic that really touches millions worldwide. It's a persistent and often debilitating challenge, rheumatoid arthritis, or RA. For those living with it, you know, RA isn't just about joint pain. It's a chronic progressive autoimmune disease.
That's right. The body's own immune system mistakenly attacks the joints.
Exactly. And this leads to this, like, widespread systemic inflammation. It can severely damage not just the joints, bones, and cartilage.
But it can go beyond that.
Yeah, it can even extend its destructive reach to internal organs. We're talking lungs, heart, even your eyes. It fundamentally impacts, well, pretty much every aspect of a person's quality of life.
It really does. It's profound.
So our core mission for this deep dive is to explore some groundbreaking research and treatments for RA, stuff that aims to go far beyond just, you know, managing symptoms.
Right. Moving past just coping.
We're talking about therapies that show, well, superior efficacy, maybe even the ability to reverse damage that's already happened.
These would be huge.
Huge. And offer broad spectrum benefits, often with fewer side effects compared to the conventional approaches.
That's a key point, the side effect profile.
Definitely. So to guide us, we've sifted through like a whole stack of scientific studies, clinical trials, reviews, uncovering some really innovative solutions, things that span from, you know, ancient herbal wisdom all the way to cutting edge nanotechnology.
It's a fascinating range.
It really is. So, okay, let's unpack this. For anyone who's ever wondered if there's more to RA treatment than just coping with the pain, or if maybe reversing joint damage is actually possible.
Okay.
This deep dive is for you.
And it's crucial, I think, to start by understanding the gravity of RA. The research consistently describes it not just as, you know, simple joint pain,
right,
but as a catastrophic type of inflammatory joint disease. That's a strong term.
It is catastrophic.
Yeah. And for a long time, the standard treatment paradigm, it's revolved around conventional therapies.
Like NSAIDs.
Exactly. Non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs, corticosteroids, and then that class of medications called DMARDs, disease-modifying anti-rheumatic drugs.
Methotrexate, sulfasalazine, those names sound familiar.
Precisely. Those are prominent examples. And look, these treatments have played a vital role. They do, as the research says, relieve joint inflammation, mitigate pain, minimize joint deterioration, and reduce disability. They offer relief.
Okay, so they do help.
They absolutely help manage things. But, and this is a big but,
uh-huh,
while they offer this crucial relief, the sources really underscore a critical limitation. They often come with, and I quote, myriad severe side effects.
Myriad. Okay, look at what?
Well, we're talking about conditions like Cushing habitus, that's changes in body fat distribution, elevated blood pressure, hyperglycemia, so high blood sugar.
Wow.
And significant gastrointestinal issues. Stomach ulceration, bleeding.
Mm-hmm.
It's not trivial.
Definitely not.
So while they offer a lifeline, it often comes with a pretty heavy toll on a patient's overall health, their well-being.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And this really prompts a fundamental question, right? Can we achieve better outcomes? Mm. Like outcomes that actually change the course of the disease.
Not just slow it down.
Exactly. Can we do that with fewer compromises?
Yeah.
Especially when the primary aim of these conventional treatments is often symptom control and just slowing progression, not, you know, a definitive cure or true reversal.
That's a powerful distinction, the difference between slowing and reversing. And it really highlights why finding a genuine cure for RA has been so, well, elusive.
Mm-hmm.
It's not simple, is it? It's this profoundly complex autoimmune disorder where the body's defense system basically turns inward.
It gets its wires crossed, essentially.
Yeah, attacking its own joints. And at the cellular level,
yeah,
what's actually going on inside those joints?
It's like a battlefield. You get this hyperproliferation of synovial fibroblasts. There's just excessive growth of the cells lining the joints.
Okay.
Coupled with a massive invasion of inflammatory cells. Think white blood cells, immune cells, all flooding into the joint space.
A massive invasion.
Yes, it's an overwhelming response.
And what's driving all that? What fuels this cellular conflict?
It's a cascade of these pro-inflammatory cytokines. They're tiny, powerful chemical messengers.
Okay, the cytokines. I've heard of TNF-alpha and things like that.
Exactly. TNF take IL-1, IL-6, IL-10, IL-18. The specific names aren't as important as what they do.
Right.
Just imagine them as the body's fire alarms and maybe even fuel suppliers that are constantly signaling for more inflammation and actively dismantling healthy tissue.
So they're not just signaling danger, they're actually causing damage.
Precisely. They actively facilitate self-immunity, systemic inflammation, and degradation of the tissue. They're key players in the destruction.
So what does this all mean then? It means RA isn't just about the pain you feel.
Not at all.
It's a relentless war being waged at a microscopic level. These tiny chemical messengers, the cytokines, are fueling the fire and actively dismantling the very structures they're supposed to protect.
It's a complete breakdown of the body's internal regulation system. A profound imbalance.
So how does that microscopic war translate into the joint destruction people actually experience?
Well, within that inflamed joint, this invasive tissue forms. It's called pannus.
Pannus, okay.
Think of it like an aggressive, almost tumor-like growth. It expands over the healthy cartilage and bone.
Oh, wow.
And it directly invades the bone marrow space.
Invades the bone marrow.
Directly. And the mechanisms of damage are multifaceted. You have these pro-inflammatory cytokines we mentioned working together with another molecule called ARI-NKL. That's a key player in bone remodeling. Together, they actively promote osteoclastogenesis.
Osteoclastogenesis, bone breakdown.
Exactly. It's the process of breaking down bone. And this leads directly to the irreversible bone loss we often see in RA.
Irreversible.
Often, yes. And it's a double whammy because on the flip side, we also see that certain inhibitors of something called the Wnt signaling pathway actually prevent new bone formation and the repair of those erosions.
So it's breaking down bone and stopping repair.
Precisely. Active destruction alongside inhibited repair. It's a really tough combination.
And the pain, that persistent, sometimes excruciating pain, where does that come from?
The inflamed synovium, that joint lining, produces substances called algogens.
Algogens.
Pain makers.
Essentially, yes. They crank up pain sensitivity by lowering the firing threshold of your local pain receptors, the nociceptors. Imagine someone turning the volume dial way up on your pain sensors.
Okay, so you feel pain more easily.
Much more easily. And what's more, there's also a sensitization of the central pain pathways, like in the spinal cord and brain, by these same pro-inflammatory mediators. It essentially reprograms your nervous system to be more sensitive to pain signals.
Wow. So it's affecting the nerves, too.
Absolutely. And this complexity even extends to diagnosis. You can have patients who meet the clinical criteria for remission. Their joints might not seem swollen. Their blood markers might look okay.
Right. They seem better. Exactly. But subclinical inflammation, which is synovitis you can only detect with advanced imaging like ultrasound or MRI, can still be present, smoldering away.
Hidden inflammation.
Exactly. And this hidden inflammation helps explain why sometimes patients feel there's a discrepancy between disease activity and outcome. They might not feel like they're in remission, even if the standard tests say they are.
That makes so much sense.
Yeah, and it really highlights the need for imaging sometimes to get a true definition of remission, to make sure no smoldering inflammation is left undetected.
Okay.
So if we zoom out, RA is this disease of intricate, deeply embedded imbalances. The historical challenge has been finding a treatment that could really reestablish that balance comprehensively.
Not just whack-a-mole with symptoms.
Precisely. Rather than just suppressing individual symptoms or isolated components of the inflammation. So the natural question that emerges is, what if a perfect drug isn't about targeting just one specific protein? What if it's about rebalancing the whole complex system?
That idea of intricate imbalances, it really resonates. Yeah. So if RA is such a complex system, this interconnected web, does that mean our traditional approach, the one target, one drug idea, might just be too simple?
That's exactly what the research is increasingly suggesting. For diseases as complex as RA, that conventional one target, one drug model, well, might not be sufficient.
Right.
Our sources highlight this idea that a perfect drug is not one that has selectivity for one protein, especially if that single target is rarely the only thing driving the disease.
It's like trying to put out a huge forest fire by just focusing on one burning tree.
Exactly. That's a great analogy. You need a broader strategy. And this really makes us rethink how we develop new medicines.
How so?
Well, what if a drug's effectiveness isn't just about its chemical structure, how it looks on paper? What if it's more about what it actually does functionally when it interacts with the body's complex systems?
Okay. Function over form. Almost.
In a way, yes. And this insight is kind of a game changer for understanding natural compounds. Many traditional remedies, herbal formulas, they're complex mixtures, right? Not single isolated chemicals.
Yeah, often lots of ingredients.
And that very complexity might be their strength. It could allow them to work on multiple targets simultaneously, nudging the whole system back towards balance, potentially offering better results, maybe even with fewer side effects, especially for long-term conditions like RA?
That makes perfect sense. But, you know, for many listeners, the idea of plant-based therapies, it might immediately bring up questions about scientific proof, rigorous validation.
Sure, that's crucial.
So what does the research actually say about moving from traditional use to really understanding how these compounds work and why they might offer something conventional medicine hasn't quite achieved?
That's a really important point. And the sources emphasize that herbs and their bioactives can modulate the major inflammatory cytokine expression in synovial cells.
The cytokines we talked about.
It's exactly.
Yeah.
And the regulation of the inflammatory immune process by targeting various cellular targets. This multi-targeted approach is precisely what a complex disease like RA seems to demand.
Hitting multiple points in that web.
Precisely. And what's even more compelling from a patient perspective is the potential for least side effects from these novel clinical pharmaceutical agents.
Least side effects. That's a big claim. Is there evidence for that?
Well, it's certainly a major driving force behind patient interest. This isn't just theoretical. A significant percentage of RA patients are already exploring these avenues. One study showed that 54.5% use modal herbs.
Wow, over half.
Yeah. And the primary reasons they cited for this, they find them more natural. That was almost half, 48.7%. And they believe they have less adverse effects, which is about 15.8%.
So perception is key there.
It is. And it's important to be balanced. About 10% did report adverse effects, mostly things like stomach upset, GI issues. But the overall perception of lower side effects is a huge driver. Patients are primarily looking for relief from pain. 96% use CAM, complementary and alternative medicine, for pain followed by morning stiffness and fatigue.
The core RA symptoms.
Exactly. And this patient-driven interest, it really compels us to look closer at what these natural compounds can truly achieve scientifically.
Right.
So this concept, the idea that maybe drug-target interactions are more correlated with pharmacological effects similarity than with chemical structure similarity, it opens the door. It helps us understand how complex natural compounds with their diverse structures can achieve these broad synergistic effects across multiple pathways, making them potentially more effective and maybe safer for chronic conditions.
Okay, building on that exciting idea, that multi-targeted approach, let's zero in on some specifics. You mentioned groundbreaking research. What are some of the natural therapies, the compounds or formulas that are really demonstrating this powerful promiscuous action hitting multiple targets and maybe even, dare I say, reversing damage?
Absolutely. We have several really compelling examples that leap out from the research. Let's start with a real powerhouse from Chinese medicine. Terpterdium Will40 Hook F. It's often abbreviated as TWHF, and its active compound is called triptolide.
TWHF, okay.
This herb is consistently presented in our sources as highly effective, and its mechanisms are quite fascinating. Triptolide shows powerful immunosuppressive and anti-inflammatory effects. It suppresses key factors like NF-key, IL-8, and PGE2.
The on switches for inflammation you mentioned.
Exactly, major players. Yeah. But here's the really crucial part, something that goes beyond just dampening inflammation. It also induces apoptosis of rheumatoid synovial fibroblasts, RSF.
Apoptosis, that's programmed cell death, right?
Precisely. So it's telling these overly aggressive cells, the ones driving the destruction in the joint lining, to basically self-destruct.
Wow. So it's not just calming things down, it's actively removing the problem cells.
That seems to be a key mechanism. It actively targets and eliminates the cells that are causing so much damage.
Okay, that sounds impressive mechanistically, but what about in people? What's the clinical evidence?
The clinical efficacy of TWHF is where it gets particularly impressive. Clinical trials have shown rapid and significantly greater improvement in RA disease activity compared to sulfasalazine, which, remember, is a standard RA therapy.
Okay, better than a standard drug. How much better?
Significantly. Patients treated with TWHF achieved higher ACR20, ACR50, and even ACR70 responses.
ACR, what do those numbers mean practically?
They're benchmarks for improvement. ACR20 means a 20% improvement in key symptoms like tender and swollen joints, pain, patient's global assessment, etc. ACR50 is 50%. ACR70 is 70%.
So ACR70 is a huge improvement.
It's a remarkable improvement. For a chronic debilitating disease like RA, achieving ACR70 signifies a profound level of relief and return to function for many patients. And the study showed improvement in joint pain, swelling, overall well-being, and those inflammatory markers like CRP and ESR were apparent as early as 2 weeks into treatment.
2 weeks? That's incredibly fast.
It is strikingly rapid compared to many conventional treatments. And it's not just symptoms. TWHF has been reported to retard radiographic progression in ORA.
Meaning it stops the actual joint damage seen on x-ray.
It slows or stops it, yes. Which is a huge step toward preventing long-term disability. It's even considered superior to several conventional synthetic DMARDs in clinical efficacy by ACR20.
Superior to several standard drugs.
Yes. And in a direct head-to-head comparison with methotrexate, the cornerstone RA drug.
Right, MTX.
It showed comparable efficacy to methotrexate monotherapy without increasing adverse events.
Comparable effectiveness to the gold standard, but potentially safer.
That's what that specific study suggested. Comparable efficacy, potentially better tolerability in that context. It's a very compelling profile.
Wow. Okay, TWHF sounds like a major contender. What else is showing that kind of promise?
Next, we have another potent traditional Chinese medicine formula that truly stands out. Guizi Shaoyao Zimu Decoction, or GSZD.
GSZD. Got it.
The data here is, frankly, striking. This formula has, according to the sources, demonstrated very high clinical cure rates for RA, potentially ranging from 87.5% to 95.8%.
Oh, cure rates, not improvement rates, cure rates.
That's the language used in the source describing those specific studies' clinical cure rates, up to 95.8%.
That's almost unbelievable for a chronic disease like RA. What does clinical cure mean in this context?
It typically implies a complete or near complete remission of symptoms and inflammatory markers, sustained over time. Think about that for a disease where conventional treatments mostly aim for management. These numbers represent potential near total reversal for a significant majority in those trials.
That fundamentally shifts the conversation from lifelong management to actual recovery.
It really could. If these results are broadly replicable and translated effectively, it's potentially paradigm shifting. It was also reported as superior to indomethacin, tryptyrrhigium glycosides, and prednisone.
Better than other anti-inflammatories and even another herbal approach.
And crucially, especially compared to many drugs, it has shown no significant side effects in long-term trials.
No significant side effects long-term. That's huge.
It's a monumental finding, yes. Because side effects often limit the use, effectiveness, and adherence to conventional therapies over the long haul.
So how does GSZD work? What's the mechanism behind these incredible results?
It seems to work on multiple fronts. The research indicates it works by restraining osteoclast differentiation and activation.
Slowing down that bone breakdown again.
Exactly. Preventing bone destruction.
Yeah.
It also works by reducing synovial cell proliferation and increasing synovial cell apoptosis.
Similar to TWHF, targeting those overactive joint lining cells.
Yes, addressing that cellular overgrowth directly.
Yeah.
And the sources state it has disrupted RA disease dysfunction modules and restored homeostasis in the human body.
Okay, disrupted dysfunction modules. That sounds complex. What does it mean?
Think of it like rebooting a faulty computer program. It suggests GSZD doesn't just treat individual symptoms, but it actually helps recalibrate the underlying faulty operating system of the immune response in RA. It helps clear out these dysfunction modules, these patterns of inflammation and autoimmunity, and guides the body back towards its natural state of balance or homeostasis.
So it's restoring the body's own regulation.
That's the idea. And the synergistic power of the formula is key. It's not just one compound. Its formula targets complement the existing RA drug targets, like those hit by drugs such as leflunomide, infliximab, etoricoxib. But it also extends benefits to other critical immune functions. Things like T helper 1 cell differentiation, B cell movement, the broader inflammatory response, leading to a more systematic treatment.
Covering more bases than a single drug could.
That's the potential advantage of a well-designed multi-component formula.
Those cure rates for GSZD are just, astonishing. It really speaks to the power of that comprehensive, system-wide approach. But what about reversing damage? You mentioned TWHF slows progression, but is there anything showing potential to actually repair joints that are already damaged?
Yes, and that's where the research on Allerite's mullicanus extract truly stands out.
Allerite's mullicanus? What's that commonly known as?
It's sometimes known as the candlenut tree.
Okay. Candlenut extract, what did it show?
This extract has been shown to be uniquely effective in repairing joint damage in RA rat models. This isn't just about stopping the decline. It's about actively rebuilding what's been lost.
Repairing damage? How?
The study specifically showed it reducing fibrosis, which is scarring in the joint, cartilage degradation, and bone erosion scores. It improved the structural integrity of the damaged joints in these models.
That offers a whole new level of hope, doesn't it? Going beyond just managing pain or slowing things down to actually fixing the joint.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Imagine what that could mean for a patient who's already experiencing significant joint changes. Its action as a disease modifier suggests it could be a truly promising and potentially safe tool. It shifts the paradigm from damage control to genuine restoration.
Incredible. So we have TWHF for strong efficacy, GSDD for potential cures and system balance, and Allerites Mullicanus for potential repair. Are there other broader trends or specific examples worth highlighting?
Definitely. Beyond these individual standouts, the broader picture for East Asian herbal medicine in general is incredibly compelling. There was a large-scale study looking at over 19,000 RA patients.
Wow, that's a big cohort.
Huge. And it indicated that these traditional medicines had the best effect on persistent pain intensity, the number of painful joints, and overall response rate compared to other interventions studied.
Best effect overall?
In that study, yes. And a major advantage noted, again, was significantly fewer side effects compared to conventional medicine due to the low toxicity of medicinal plants.
There's that theme again. Efficacy potentially combined with better safety.
Exactly. It reinforces that potential. And we see other promising examples, too. Like an extract of Rosy multiflora fructus and Lanicerae japonicae flos, RL, showed potent anti-arthritic effects in animal models. It didn't just reduce joint swelling and inflammation, but it also seemed to promote overall health. The animals had better appetite and weight gain. It reduced immune cell infiltration, bone erosion, boosted antioxidant activities. A really broad range of benefits.
Sounds very holistic.
It does. Then there's Moringa oleifera, sometimes called the miracle tree.
Ah, yes, I've heard of Moringa.
Its extracts significantly reduced inflammation in animal models. One study showed up to 82% inhibition of paw inflammation. Very potent anti-inflammatory effects.
82% is impressive.
Very. And even from our diet sulforaphane, the compound found in broccoli and other cruciferous vegetables.
Right, ear broccoli.
Exactly. It demonstrated a reduction in arthritis severity in animal models, reduced cartilage damage and bone erosion, and it did this partly by inhibiting B cell differentiation, a key immune cell process in RA.
So even dietary components can play a role.
Absolutely. And combinations can be effective too. A trial combining evening primrose oil, EPO, and stinging nettle, Urtica dioica, with conventional treatment showed a significant decrease in inflammatory markers and improved overall therapeutic benefits.
So adding natural therapies to conventional ones can boost results.
It seems so, suggesting synergistic effects are possible. And finally, cat's claw, a Peruvian vine.
Cat's claw, yes.
Has shown a favorable clinical effect on RA disease. It reduced the number of painful joints and showed continuing clinical improvement over a whole year, 52 weeks. Its action seems related to inhibiting those major inflammatory pathways, NF-GAI and TNF-ASE. And one specific compound, bakelite, found in some herbs, was shown to induce that programmed cell death, apoptosis, specifically in those harmful rheumatoid arthritis synovial fibroblasts by targeting a key cellular pathway, BI3-CAT-GM-TOR.
Targeting the bad cells again.
Exactly. So these examples, taken together, they really illustrate a powerful shift. Natural products aren't just simple symptom relievers. Many appear to act as true disease modifiers, influencing the underlying pathology, and often doing so with potentially superior safety profiles.
That really provides a completely new lens on natural compounds. It's not just folklore. There's serious science here showing potential to not just manage, but maybe even reverse aspects of this disease. It's fascinating how these ancient remedies are now inspiring and being integrated into truly cutting-edge biomedical strategies. So where does it go from here? How are researchers taking these powerful natural insights and pushing the boundaries even further?
Indeed. The future of RA treatment looks, well, extremely promising is the phrase used in some sources, especially when we consider these modern approaches that combine phytochemicals, the plant compounds, with advanced delivery systems like nanotechnology.
Nanotechnology, how does that apply here?
Think of it as a way to deliver the therapeutic agent more effectively, right to where it's needed, or to enhance its action. Take curcumin, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Many people know it from turmeric, right? For its anti-inflammatory properties.
Right. Very popular supplement.
Studies have shown it can actually improve prednisolone efficacy, that's a common steroid, and even prevent arthritis development in models. So it can make an existing drug work better or potentially stop the disease earlier.
Making current treatments more effective.
Exactly. And even more advanced are concepts like combining methotrexate, MTX, with curcumin nanoparticles. These combo nanoparticles have demonstrated superior disease-modifying effects. It's about enhancing the delivery and effectiveness by pairing the drug with the natural compound using this nanoengineering.
So the tiny particles help get both substances where they need to go.
Precisely. Potentially increasing concentration in the joint and improving overall impact.
Interesting. What other nano approaches are showing promise?
Gold nanoparticles, EMNPs, are another really fascinating area.
Gold, like actual gold.
Yes, tiny particles of gold. They've shown significant effects in animal models, reducing inflammation, decreasing bone and cartilage erosion, and preventing pannus formation.
Wow, hitting all the key problems.
Exactly. And what's particularly noteworthy is their ability, in some studies, to overcame MTX-related drug resistance and enhanced its effectiveness.
So they could potentially help patients for whom methotrexate has stopped working.
That's the exciting possibility. It offers a potential solution for treatment resistance. Similarly, researchers have developed biphasic calcium phosphate, BCP, nanoplatforms loaded with MTX.
BCP sounds like bone material.
It's a type of calcium phosphate similar to bone mineral. These nanoplatforms loaded with methotrexate demonstrated synergistic effects, reducing inflammation and repairing bone tissues.
Repairing bone, there's that reversal potential again.
Yes. So this presents a novel strategy for RA treatment that combines drug delivery technology with the drug itself to not just fight inflammation, but actively promote tissue repair.
That's incredible, combining drug delivery with repair signals.
And here's a truly surprising finding from a molecular docking analysis that's like a computer simulation of how molecules fit together.
Okay.
A plant constituent, taxifolin 7-OBD-glucopyranoside, which comes from curcuma longiturmeric again, showed better interactions and higher binding free energy with a key RA target protein called HDHODH, compared to even synthetic drugs designed to inhibit it, like leflunomide and Bruconar.
Wait, the natural compound from turmeric potentially binds better to the target than the synthetic drugs?
According to that specific analysis, yes. Better interaction, stronger binding. It suggests that nature has sometimes evolved molecules that are incredibly well-suited to interact with our biological targets, perhaps even more effectively than some synthetics. It offers a powerful blueprint for future drug design.
That's mind-blowing. Nature as the master chemist.
In many ways, yes.
So beyond nanotechnology, what about other advanced frontiers? Immunomodulation, gene therapy?
Yes. The realm of immunomodulation and gene therapy is showing incredible strides, sometimes drawing inspiration from really unexpected places. Mm-hmm. Consider ES62.
ES62, what's that?
It's a molecule derived from filarial nematodes.
Nematodes, like parasitic worms.
Exactly. Parasites have evolved incredible ways to manipulate their host's immune system to survive, and researchers are learning from them. In animal models of arthritis, ES62 exhibited powerful immunomodulation. It didn't just prevent the start of inflammatory arthritis, but crucially suppressing established disease.
Suppressing disease that's already underway, that's a huge leap.
It is. Moving from prevention to active suppression of ongoing disease is critical. Its effects seem linked to inhibiting specific cytokines, TNF-SLLs and IL-6, major inflammation drivers, and reversing harmful TH1 immune responses, learning from nature's own immunomodulators.
Wow. Okay, what about gene therapy? Is that playing a role?
It is. And it highlights the profound potential of treating the disease at its genetic root. While it's not herbal, the example of interleukin-1 receptor antagonist, IL-1RA gene transfer, is illustrative.
IL-1RA, that blocks an inflammatory cytokine, right?
Correct. IL-1 is another key pro-inflammatory cytokine. IL-1RA is its natural inhibitor. Researchers used a modified virus, a lentivirus, to deliver the gene for IL-1RA directly into the knee joints of mice with arthritis.
Delivering the gene right to the site of inflammation.
Exactly. Local overexpression. And it had a pronounced effect on the development of arthritis, leading to a marked reduction in joint inflammation and bone destruction, specifically in the treated joint.
So the joint itself starts producing its own anti-inflammatory medicine.
That's the concept. Imagine turning the affected joint into its own little biopharmacy. This kind of targeted gene therapy could truly revolutionize how we approach chronic localized diseases.
That's definitely next level thinking. Are there other new targets emerging?
Yes. Researchers are constantly identifying new targets as our understanding deepens. This includes things like histone deacetylase inhibitors, HDACs.
HDACs, what do they do?
They affect how DNA is packaged and read, essentially. In this context, they can suppress inflammatory activation and promote that programmed cell death, apoptosis, in the damaging human synovial macrophages, another key immune cell in the joint. The broader role of HDCs in RA is complex, but these inhibitors offer a novel angle by sort of reprogramming these destructive cells.
Trying to switch off their harmful behavior?
Exactly. There's also the caspase-1 inhibitor, prolnaquizin, which is in clinical development. Caspase-1 is involved in activating key inflammatory cytokines like IL-1.
Hitting another part of the inflammatory cascade.
Right. And we see ongoing efforts in targeting specific types of immune cells that are crucial in RA. We already have drugs like rituximab, which targets B cells. And newer research is looking at agents like daratumumab, which targets plasma cells, the antibody-producing factories that can contribute to autoimmunity.
Getting more and more specific in the targeting.
That's the trend. So, zooming out again, these advanced approaches, nanotechnology enhancing natural compounds, immunomodulation inspired by nature, gene therapy, novel cellular and molecular targets, they all point towards a future where we're not just managing symptoms, we're actively aiming to reverse damage and maybe even prevent the disease from initiating in the first place.
Which brings us back to that crucial question.
Exactly. How quickly can we translate these laboratory and animal model successes into safe, effective, and widely available treatments for people living with RA?
That is the million-dollar question, isn't it? But the sheer breadth of these findings, it really illuminates the huge potential and the broader implications for the future of RA treatment. It feels genuinely exciting.
It is.
And it really emphasizes that concept you touched on earlier, the preclinical stage of RA, that time before symptoms really kick in. The idea that this could be a golden period for prevention.
Yes, a window of opportunity.
Imagine intervening then and potentially stopping the disease before it ever fully takes hold clinically. So what does this all mean? I mean, it feels like we're seeing a fundamental shift, right? From simply slowing down RA to actively pursuing a future where we can maybe prevent it, definitely modify it, and perhaps even reverse its devastating effects.
Exactly. The ambitious goals now really include things like reestablishing immune tolerance and immunological homeostasis. That's the holy grail, really.
Going beyond just suppressing the immune system.
To actually re-educating it.
Uh-huh.
Teaching it not to attack itself.
Mm.
Restoring that natural balance.
And the new research avenues reflect this ambition.
Absolutely. They're incredibly diverse. We're seeing work targeting Bruton's tyrosine kinase, or BTK, that's important for B-cell function. Exploring the phosphonacetide 3 kinase, PI3K pathway, another key signaling hub. Even the use of adipose-derived stem cells from fat tissue, in patients with refractory RA who haven't responded to other treatments. It showcases this multi-pronged attack, dissecting these complex biological pathways to find precise points for intervention.
Stem cells, too.
Yes. And it's not all high-tech labs and complex molecules.
Yeah.
The sources consistently reiterate the profound importance of lifestyle factors.
Right. You can't forget those.
Definitely not. Smoking cessation, for example. We know smoking significantly increases the risk of developing RA. The sources mentioned it can reduce risk of rheumatoid arthritis, and it impacts that underlying citrullination process.
Citrullination. That's linked to the autoantibodies in RA, isn't it?
Exactly. It's a key molecular event in the development of RA for many people.
So simple lifestyle changes, like quitting smoking, can have a direct, profound impact on risk and potentially disease processes.
It's empowering to know that some factors are within our control.
Absolutely. Now, we have to acknowledge the ongoing challenges, of course. Defining true remission, especially with that subclinical inflammation issue.
Right.
And individualizing treatment, because every patient is unique. RA expresses itself differently. People respond differently to treatments. Tailoring therapy is still a major goal.
Personalized medicine for RA. That's the direction. But despite these challenges, the tremendous progress and the sheer hope these findings offer for patients, it's undeniable. We really do seem to be at an inflection point in how we understand and approach this disease.
It certainly feels that way.
Which leads us to that final big picture question. If we're discovering that these complex, multi-component natural products can sometimes achieve superior outcomes, and that combining them with advanced therapies like nanotechnology offers even more promise, what will the cure for RA ultimately look like? Is it going to be a single silver bullet drug?
Or something else?
Or will it be a more tailored synergistic blend, perhaps combining ancient natural wisdom with cutting-edge modern science, personalized for each patient?
What a thought-provoking way to frame the future. This deep dive, it's been incredible. We've journeyed from the often harsh reality of living with rheumatoid arthritis to the very cutting edge of research, and honestly, it's uncovered a genuinely hopeful future.
There's a lot of reason for optimism.
There really is. This deep dive has truly given us, I think, more than just a glimmer of hope. It shows us that the story of RA treatment is far from over. The future, with this potential blend of ancient remedies and cutting-edge science, it looks brighter than ever. We've seen the vast potential of specific natural compounds, herbal formulas.
Their superior efficacy in many cases.
Right.
Yeah.
And their astonishing ability, potentially, to reverse damage already done. Their broad-spectrum benefits, often, crucially, with fewer side effects.
Mm-hmm.
This research is rapidly moving beyond just managing symptoms towards true disease modification, maybe even reversal.
So given this complex, multifaceted nature of rheumatoid arthritis
mm-hmm.
and the documented success we've discussed,
yeah.
particularly of multi-ingredient traditional formulas that act on multiple targets,
yeah.
this raises an important question perhaps for you, the listener, to consider. What radical shifts in how we think about drug development and how we deliver patient care might be necessary to truly move from just managing symptoms to actually curing, not just RA, but maybe other chronic autoimmune diseases as well in the decades to come?